Thank you.
God. Dun, 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 dun. We missed the whole thing about Dungeons and Dragons and winning the Annie Award.
We did miss the worst thing we've ever done.
I've done this twice now in the same day. What the fuck is wrong with me? All right, so Dungeons and Dragons Player Handbook. This is our second in our installment on it. We're going to go a little bit of a review on the handbook. Spoilers, I really fucking like it.
It's good.
It's really good. I kind of wish we did the
$50 MSRP. Buy it from your local game store. Yeah. Don't buy it off Amazon. Support your local game store.
Unless your game store owner is a piece of shit.
Yes. Unless your game store owner is a piece of shit, then feel free to buy it off Amazon.
It's like some guy sitting there going like, maybe I should buy it from a game store owner. Wait a second.
That guy's a dick.
That guy is a piece of shit. Joe and Steve are right. I'm going to go buy this on Amazon right now. I could go on Amazon or I could click on this porn link.
Anyway. Why not both? That's what tabbed browsing is for.
So the player's handbook is $50. It's huge. It's about equivalent of, you know, most other RPG books that would go for around $40-$50. So it's not out of the ordinary for in this day and age. It's the same kind of materials as the fourth edition book. So you get the nice glossy pages, you get the nice cover. I love the fucking artwork. I think we were already talking that it's a fire giant.
It's a fire giant, yes.
Yes, I originally called it a frost giant and Steve yelled at me.
I did.
And
before I noticed that the thing wasn't recording, I was about to expound upon that and say, well, you like gnomes, so how much could you possibly know about D&D?
I don't know anything about the monster, sir. I get...
It's true, you didn't know what a flump was. So.
I did not know what a flump was. A flump...
Flump.
Is there a PF at the end or just an F?
It's like PTH. It's like flump. Oh. It's like flump. I don't know how you're actually. I've always said it as flump. So even if someone tells me there's a correct way to say it, I don't give a shit. I'm calling it flump.
So it's pretty good quality. It's got some good binding on there.
Yeah, it's a very nice book.
Well, it's one of those things because I used to work in a used bookstore, so I always used to test binding, and it's like. I you can kind of tell when it's going to be a good binding. So right. I can, it's not fantastic, but it's pretty good binding. They actually kind of went all out for this. This is something that's going to last you and it has to last you. You have no choice in the matter.
Forward to many, many years playing this game.
Yes. The nice thing about it is, and we've mentioned it 1,000 times, is this book is easy to read.
Yes. It's in order.
It's in order.
If you're a player, you can build your character from start to finish just by going into the first pages.
Yeah, and it's just like, as I was reading it, because you got it from me on the last podcast, I was reading through it, and like literally the next day, I was texting you like, holy shit, this book is amazing. Holy shit, we need to do a podcast on this right away.
Yeah, it's super good.
But I'm actually kind of glad that I waited, because I was able to actually roll up a character in a Dungeons & Dragons setting so that I can expound upon it a little bit
playing
more.
Playing in the Forgotten Realms?
No, we are not. We're playing in the Delanois Realms.
Oh.
It's like the Forgotten Realms, but Baldur.
The mountains of Delanois.
It gives the Delanois Realms give Baldur's Gate a new meaning.
Nice. Nice. You know, if he's the DM, he's gonna kill you for that. He's gonna just definitely TPK the party.
Dan Delanois is bald.
The best is he can make everything the Delanois something. It's like, you need to cross the storm peaks of Delanois and enter Castle Delanois.
He's not you, Steve.
Oh, man, that would be awesome. Well, are you accusing me that I would make everything called Delanois in my game?
Yes.
Because I would.
I know you would.
I don't like silly games.
Yeah, the great thing about it is you turn to the first page. Like, after you get through the basic stuff of what's game dice, and you're like, okay, this is kind of for the beginner stuff. That's fine. You get right to part one, creating a character, chapter one, step-by-step characters, and you just go through each step, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it shows you how to make a character, and then after showing you how to make the character, it shows you what all of the rules do.
Yeah, it's pretty damn easy to go
through.
I'm
a huge fan of the stat array.
Yeah.
That's the best way to build a character in this edition. I like it very much. I, you know, dice rolling is fun, but it has various issues. Especially if one fucking lucky piece of shit friend who's just like, 18, 18, 18. Oh. Oh, look at that. My character's got 18 strength, dex, and con. I'm going to be a bard. Like, sick. What do you use those stats, buddy? What's your charisma?
7.
God damn it.
Play classical gas.
He can't. His charisma's so shitty.
I thought it would be dexterity for playing.
No, performance is all charisma, bro.
It's all charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Performance is all charisma, bro.
Bruh.
Bruh.
And So the stat array in this one's really good because your characters grow, get stats, so they kind of get washed down down upon you like candy in this edition.
Yeah, and you can still roll for stats if you want. There's
I wouldn't.
I know you wouldn't. I rolled for stats in our game.
Oof. Did you get anything good?
Yeah, I got 18 strength.
Did you roll straight down the line?
Yeah.
Real style?
No, we four dice roll. You pick.
Okay.
Roll, get rid of the smallest one.
When I make players roll stats, I do it old style where I'm just like, three dice down the line. Just like, what's your strength? 9. What's your dex? 3. Con? 18. You're quite tanky.
No, but I mean, yeah, we did that. We wrote the numbers down, then we were able to assign it to whatever. Our DM is pretty a little old school with that one. But yeah, so I mean, it's so friggin' easy to build a character with this book. It's unbelievable. Then you get your races, of course, the standard races, halfling, elf, dwarf, human. And they added a bunch to this book, which aren't in other books. You get the half orc, half elf, tiefling, dragonkin, dragon furry, and gnome, your favorite character. I don't know why Steve hates gnomes so much, but I like it because it does give some variation to
There's only one gnome I like. David the gnome.
Yeah. It's like
he can ride on his fox, Swift.
With his wife. And then he said Schlitz fights.
And he dies in the end.
Yes. I know, it's sad.
Most people don't know that. Like, yeah, it's totally like he totally dies. I believe his wife also dies. And I believe Swift also dies. I think they all die, if I remember correctly.
Well, it is some like weird Scandinavian show, so it'd probably have like that deep dark meaning like the winter comes.
It wasn't dark. There was just I think they just they got old.
Yeah.
Like they just died because they were old.
It's like we all get old in the end. We must put our firewood bark up. So yeah, you get like a wider.
Oh man, I love sausage festival like in Vienna. Can't wait to get some of that charbroiled meat in my mouth.
But yeah, you get so you have a lot of options on characters to take. If I were you, I would avoid tiefling and I would avoid the furry dragons.
If I were you, I would only allow halflings, dwarves, elves and humans.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything that the tiefling characters or the furry dragons are bad. I just hate those characters.
They're Forgotten Realms.
They're Forgotten Realms, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just
humans are the stone nuts in this edition. Like you would have to do a lot to convince you not to play human in this edition.
Humans are really fucking good.
they're strong.
Yeah, you get a lot. Well, I mean, you just get a lot of choices with them.
Yeah, that's one of the things that makes them strongest.
And they give you a lot of fucking classes in this edition too. I mean, you start off with barbarian, bard, cleric, druid, fighter, monk, paladin, ranger, rogue, sorcerer, warlock, and wizard.
And there's the archetypes, so each class is actually more than one.
Oh, that's so good. It's like, in a lot of ways, I kind of feel like you know how 4th edition was trying to be a lot like World of Warcraft, where it was, you know, like you come across this band of so-and-so and they give you
the thing about 4th edition is that I understand coming from the MMO's perspective is because the classic roles in a party have always been there. They just weren't referred to as what they're referred to as in MMOs. MMOs mm-hmm. referred to the tank as a tank, DPS, damage, and then like healer. Or buffs.
Yeah.
So what 4th edition did is it tried to take something that a lot more people became familiar with because of MMOs, because tons of people played MMOs who never played a tabletop game.
Yeah.
So they tried to make things that people who played MMOs would be familiar with. So like, oh, this guy's a tank. This guy's a healer. This guy's buff. This guy's deeps.
Yeah.
Like, great. Now I understand
even it. Even in like, but I'm saying in terms of character creation, when you're playing an MMO, any MMO, like for example, even Mass Effect, you have a choice when you're building your character. You could take this path or you could take this path.
Right.
Okay, so this guy starts off as a warrior. Is he going to be a rangy warrior or is he going to be a close combat warrior?
Right. And yeah, 4th dropped the ball in its idea was sound. It dropped the ball in the execution.
Yeah.
This does not.
No, this does not. So like each one of those like that we mentioned, the fucking 13 different choices that you have gets to spin off into several. Like even your fighter can be a magic-y fighter. Like
plus the backgrounds are amazing.
Yes. Well, I mean, we'll get to that in a second. I mean, it's just like you create and you get these like nice little like fucking paths that you can take, and each one of them spins off and you can have a different type character. If you look,
are you in the bow and arrow fighter or are you in the sword and board?
Dual wield, man. Dual wield.
Oh, look at you. Dude, you dritz, Duerden.
I gotta have my two katanas. I mentioned that. I did not take two katanas, but further on in the chartreuse
you
mousse.
You expect to find them?
The chartreuse mousse will carry two. Actually, you can only take a longsword and a shortsword, offhand shortsword. for dual wield.
That's why you got to use the Wakizashi.
The Wakizashi.
Yes.
Dual wield one katana and a Wakizashi.
Yep.
What am I, fucking Dragon Clan and Legend of the Five Rings?
Steward.
My Dragon Clan. Yeah, so you get all these different...
Some might say Dritz Stewart and his shit, and they would be right.
But one of the things I really like about that, too, is that they give you quick builds inside the classes. Like, okay, so you're a warrior. This is what a warrior normally can get. You could go and get a little more, you know, fiddly with it, but boom, right off the bat, this is what you should have.
You're fiddly.
Yeah. I think it's great, and it made it so much easier because we were able to say, like, okay, you have all of this. Do we want to swap any of it out or make anything, you know, go into it? Fucking fantastic. And then you get backgrounds, which is something that's relatively newer.
It's brand new for this edition. Yeah.
And it's like you could do, for example, my guy's folk hero. So you get to, he has like a whole folk hero background.
The best thing about the backgrounds is people are shit at coming up with backstories for their characters.
Yeah.
So having a thing in place where they get to see the direct result of making a background, of taking a background, is so much better than just being like, you should come up with a background for your character. And they're just like, you know, most people who play, like, it's like, what's your character's name?
Chartreuse Moose.
They fucking stare into the distance and you ask their fucking character name. And then you expect the same person to come up with a background. Ugh.
Well,
it in the book is fantastic.
Well, in the book, it's a whole chapter. It's just all about personality and background. They make it part of the character creation that you have to have a personality,
right, which
that
is
you
awesome.
Have to have a background. You know, they still have, like, you know, height and weight. You know, you should do that. I mean, it helps the DM and everything like that. But, you know, they also have the standard alignments. They have all that great stuff. I mean, alignments, I know Mr. Delanois does not play with alignments, but it's something that does help when you're creating your character. And it allows...
I'm a big fan of the classic three alignment.
Classic three?
Yeah.
What, just good, neutral, evil?
Neutral, evil. Yeah.
Okay. And then you get the great background stuff. Now, the background stuff is great because it tells you where your guy came from, and then you can roll on a chart, and it gives you some, like, personality traits. Like, your personality trait, your ideal, your bond, and your flaw, which is really cool.
Yep.
And it doesn't do anything for the game. It doesn't give you any bonus. It doesn't...
It gives you a bonus.
The backgrounds give you some bonuses.
It gives you a story bonus.
Yeah.
You know, if you're playing a folk hero, so when you're near your hometown or where you're from, people would be like, oh, it's the Spruce Moose.
No, I'm the Chartreuse Moose.
Right. You'd have to correct them because they say you're the Spruce Moose.
God damn it, guys. We've gone over this.
Star-Lord, man. Come on. That was my favorite part of that movie when he busts in at the end and the guy's just like, Star-Lord! And he's like, yes! I fucking love it.
And you know what? They're all like really nice backgrounds. They're all kind of really fleshed out in terms of telling you what to do.
Fleshed.
Yeah. I think it's great. And then you have all your equipment and everything, your buying guide. It makes it so easy. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're really complicated. You get, oh, you get this much gold or you get this much whatever. And then you get advantage. It goes in a little bit into the actual how to play the game.
Right, which is great because it's awesome because you learn the shit, like what things are, and then they show here's how to use these things.
Yeah, exactly. You went into advantage, disadvantage on the last podcast.
Yeah.
It's a really cool system.
It's a very good system.
I mean, it's just... I think what I like about it is I'm an old fuck. I'm an old guy. I don't need this complicated rule sets anymore. This is very simplistic for it.
The other thing, it's just pacing and speed.
Yeah.
Because, like, the worst thing about 4th edition was how fucking slow it was. 4th edition takes for, like, past level 5, even starting it, like, everything takes a fucking decade. It's like 3 enemies appear. 4 hours later, well, session's over, guys. Thanks for beating those enemies. Guess it's time to go home. The combat's just so slow and forth. This is a much quicker... it's elegant. There you go. It is an elegant system.
It also has... It's got the wizard and the cleric spells and all the... And, well, the other type of
spells. Yeah, your magic user spells.
I didn't really go through them because that's like whenever I see that, I'm like, I hate playing wizards. I really do.
You don't feel the power.
Well, that was like when building my own
character. Strong magics.
When building my own character, I really was... I was contemplating doing a mage But then I was like, I just hate going through there and like looking through my spells and like, what can I cast here? I cast Dazzling Lights.
Which you would do well with the spell cards.
Yeah. When they come out from Gale Force 9.
Yeah. I find that a lot of times when people have trouble playing Wizards, keeping track of it, I find they do much better with the spell cards. And I'm like, instead, because a lot of times when they're new to playing Wizard, they look at everything and they're like, they get so overwhelmed with how much choice there is. And I'm just like, actually, you don't have that much choice right now. Right now, you have these. And like, here's this very small number. Why don't you pick the ones you want from these?
Okay. So, yeah, the book, going over the rules and everything with it, there are very few things to find flaws with. I do have one. It's not even a flaw. It's that I think Wizards has a little bit of a idea that some people who play D&D don't really understand that people don't understand D&D. So sometimes they'll say things like, and this is your saving throw. And then they're like, well, what's a saving throw mean? You know, like, I know what a saving throw is. You know what a saving throw is. I know what a modifier is. You know what a modifier is. People outside that don't really know that. And sometimes they, if they just spent a little extra time, especially in the first section, going over, like, this is what a saving, and you write this down as your saving throw, which is this, like a short sentence that kind of, and this will get explained more later, you know, like.
Well, I think that's probably not 100% necessary in the book, because that's like a 2-second question that the DM is going to know the answer to.
Yes. If you're playing with a veteran. Now, let's say I'm thinking about this in terms of as a review. Let's say you're playing with, like,
we'll have to see what the DM's guide looks like before we can fully review from the DM side for a new player.
Well, what I'm saying is that let's say you get a group of 12-year-olds who pick up Dungeons & Dragons for the first time because they want to play it. Like, hey,
that's
guys!
A thing. Apparently, it's a common, I guess. Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is they get this. It's going to be, it might be a little complicated at first. But I mean, when you're playing any game as a 12-year-old, you never play by the rules. No one plays Monopoly by the rules. I don't think anyone knows Monopoly's rules.
I do. They're really bad.
Yeah. Actually, those are the rules for Twilight Imperium, Steve.
No, those are just really long.
Complicated.
Like, the most common rule of Monopoly no one uses is if you...
Auction,
if you,
yeah.
Auction, yeah. If you land on a fucking square...
If you don't buy it.
If you buy it, gets sold. Like, someone buys it, and they can buy it for cheap. There's a price it starts at on the back.
Yeah.
And everyone bids on it. It's like... How is it like that? That was the last time I played Monopoly. I'm like, how do you guys not use this rule? Like, well, this game is unplayable.
But what I'm saying, yeah. But
so then I just took my money and I threw it in the center. I'm like, here you go. You can use this when you land on free parking and get money in the middle of the board for some reason. I'm out. I threw my shoe at the wall.
It was like
my shoe token.
And there was a bunch of 6-year-olds going, Uncle Steve, why are you so mad?
And I just grab him by his feet and throw him down a flight of stairs.
I just like to see you like with a bunch of like 8-year-olds playing Monopoly, getting really mad at them for not knowing the rules.
Oh my god. You've just described like a personal hell for me. I don't want that. I don't want that ever.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying is like most 12-year-olds probably playing it will play it wrong, but I mean eventually over time they probably will get the rules correct.
The nice thing is with an RPG is even if you're playing it wrong, as long as everyone's following the same rules and having a good time, you're playing it right.
Exactly. So that's my only like concern with it, because there was at certain points while rolling character, I had to like go, wait, hold on a second. What's this again?
Also, okay. Thus far, Pat B has had the best questions about RPGs.
What's that?
He texts me questions about things, about D&D stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. It's so cool because he's like so new to role playing. So he's like, hey, can you like use a character that you've used for 30 years? And I'm like, well, sure. If the campaign's been going that long,
Steve, I'm gonna bring my level 22 bard.
But he's like, doesn't he like just show up and shit stomp all the other characters? And I'm like, well, if someone's bringing a level 30 character they've been playing for 30 years, everyone's gonna be bringing level 30 characters. It's not gonna be a shit stomp. And then he asked me a bunch of questions, but the last one, the one that was best, and he's like, yeah. So I was asking Joe about like shooting in bolt action. Like, can you accidentally hit your own guys? So what about Dungeons & Dragons? You do that? And I was like, yes, you can absolutely kill your friends with AOE spells. And his answer, or his response to that was, awesome.
Gotta
be careful with those fireballs, wizards.
Yeah, you gotta be dazzling lights. You can also dazzle your friends.
Dazzle them lights.
And your katana, because it is super sharp. You gotta be careful with that katana. So aside from that, what do you think? Is it worth a buy?
Absolutely.
I think it is. Seriously, the more I'm seeing of this edition, the more I'm like...
It made me sell all my second edition books.
Oh, I collect those, so I'm not selling them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was collecting them, and then this came out, and I was like, fuck it! I sold all my second-hand stuff.
You were mostly, like, just... You just mostly had, like... You didn't have anything crazy, though.
I had the original spell cards. Those were sealed.
I'm talking just for myself, because I'm like...
Oh,
like,
source books?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No, that's... You didn't have anything.
No,
like
I don't... I don't like, I had some Al-Kadim stuff, but other than that... I didn't like most of the other source books, so I had Al-Kadim, but...
Yeah.
Because that's the only one I would use.
Yeah. The book is, seriously, if you're thinking about getting into RPGs, this is the best thing I've seen to ever get into an RPG. I've read probably dozens of RPG books, and Steve has probably read hundreds in terms of rule books.
Yeah.
This one is the easiest thing I've ever seen in building a character and getting you ready for a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, other RPGs.
The only ones that would be simpler are because the game is nothing, not like to detract it, but like the game is super easy. Like,
yeah,
it's like a 3d6 game. Like, you roll three dice and that you compare it to your stat.
Yeah, I mean,
so for a game that has rules crunch and lasts, this is it.
I mean, especially in like the last 30 years, because I've seen some older RPGs that are a little easy to put together. Like, I still go to Star Wars West End.
It's no GURPS.
It's just some... All right, so this is the end of our third session. Are we done rolling for your stats? Okay, so next session, we are going to roll for your equipment, and we will continue that for the next 6 sessions. God damn it.
Why don't we just play Car Wars?
Vroom, vroom, vroom! I got a matchbox car. I glued a tiered bit to it. It's Car Wars. So, yeah, I say it's definitely worth getting into. $50, it is very expensive to someone who's younger.
Or not aware of how RPGs work.
Or how RPGs work. But I mean, like, I'm looking at it in terms of, like, a 12-year-old. Yes, I can afford a $50 book. But can a 12-year-old afford a $50 book?
Does a 12-year-old solo need it? Maybe his group needs one or two books.
No, that's... Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm looking at this in terms of a review.
Yeah. I mean, you need two books. If you're, like, bare minimum, you need two players' handbooks. So... One for yourself,
one
for the group.
One for the group. Yep. I completely agree. The other books that have the Dungeon Master's Guides come, and the Monster Manual's coming out in a couple days. And the Horde of the Dragon Queen has already come out. I don't think we're going to review Horde of the Dragon Queen.
No, I don't want to review any of the adventures, actually.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I would never read an adventure review. Other than, like, a quick, like, is it good or bad?
Yeah.
That's all you need to say about an adventure. Like, is it fun? You know, because you'll fucking spoil it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. I'm not reading it because I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, it's like, oh, cool, this adventure is spoiled and I'm going to go this way. Yeah. Nope, don't go left or right. Go straight forward. Don't go forward, go right. Okay, great. And we've avoided every enemy in the dungeon. It's like, the labyrinth was quite easily defeated. We didn't get lost, not even once.
And I found the Horde of the Dragon Queen.
And I answer.
Turns out it was Beanie Babies.
I answer the three riddles. How did you even know there were three riddles?
Because I play Dungeons and Dragons to win.
Because I'm a master. He's got fucking crib notes on his arm. It's like shit. What's that?
Yeah. So anyway, we're probably not gonna do, but we will review the Monster Manual when it comes out. Because Steve likes talking about bugbears.
I fucking love monsters. The bugbear's a verser. He'll fuck your shit up.
What about griffins?
He's a level one. Griffins are not a level one enemy. Bugbears are a level one boss.
They're a level one boss.
If you get hit, you're a fighter, so you won't. But anyone not being not a fighter
can
in
my
your
level,
group?
Can my level one fighter take on a red dragon?
No. I don't. No. No, 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 no.
What about a black dragon?
That bugbear is going to one-shot you. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, my nuts. The bugbear ate my nuts.
His base damage is enough to one-shot most party members, so.
I'm going to play the game, man. I play to win. I'm going to play.
That you should know that a bugbear could one-shot you.
I'm going to play Dungeons and Dragons, and it was advanced. Okay.
It's only if you win Dungeons and Dragons.
I won Dungeons and Dragons, and it was advanced. All right. So, listen to our main podcast. As always, comes out every other week, opposite of this. And hopefully we'll have another one up there soon. So, Steve, until next time.
May all your hits be crits.